This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Greg McElroy has greatness in his on his resume. National championship quarterback, ESPN broadcaster, joins us now on the hotline. Greg, how you doing, man?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you on. A lot to talk to you about. Let's start with the 12-team playoffs. We all hear things people like about the 12-team playoffs. There's many things to like. Give me the first thing Greg McElroy does not like about the 12-team playoffs.
First thing I don't like.
I assume there is something, right? There's something
there
you don't like.
Yeah. I think it's progress, and I mean I can understand. But let's just be honest. Like I see it from an SEC and a Bama fan's perspective. Like I don't think it's necessary. Like that's maybe the biggest problem that I look at it from a very microscopic view. If I want to look at it from a bigger picture, a more macro view, like. I don't think we need I think the playoff needs to be exclusive. You know, exclusive to the most elite teams in college football. And I want every single week the regular season to be do or die. If you lose, I want you to feel like death. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to feel like you have nothing to play for after that because your season's over. Because I want every single game to be of the utmost importance. But well, I think what college football and the decision makers realize, tell me if you guys think I'm crazy here. I think they realized, look, us Alabama fans, SEC fans, Clemson fans, Ohio State fans, we're going to be there no matter what. They don't care about us. What they care about is making sure that they can grow the sport and they can make sure that there's representation in every nook and cranny of the country. That's on the West Coast. That's within smaller schools. That's all over the place. And I think that's what they finally came to realize is that the diehards that grow up worshiping college football, we're going to watch no matter what. But this is an opportunity to grow the sport long term and maybe to create new fans as a result by giving other teams that wouldn't normally have hope, giving them a chance and a path that makes sense to get to the playoffs.
I think the long-term health of the sport is really good, but for people in this footprint, I can see why it's
been
that for sure.
Yeah, Greg, you lost your connection on your earpods there. Greg McElroy is with us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline is where you find McElroy. You back with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, we lost your earpods.
Did I cut out?
Yeah, just for a minute, we lost your earpods. That's all right. We got the gist of the answer. The one thing, though, that will disenfranchise the fans a little bit, there are reports now that they're considering not only doing the first round on campus, but potentially the second round. And that has been one thing that I have been concerned about, Greg, is asking a fan to go to three consecutive bowl trips is an expensive thing to ask them to do. I would like to see the quarters on campus as well. And it seems like that's where we're headed.
And it's not even so much about the fans. And I know that sounds crazy to say that. I think the fans' cost is big. For sure. And it's astronomical to expect any of us. I don't care what your circumstances are economically. My family, we couldn't afford to go to three consecutive games with kids and plane flights and last minute travel and not knowing where you're going. I mean, we're talking about massive financial commitment three times. And if you're a fan of Bama, Clemson, or Ohio State, the likelihood of you going to three trips is pretty freaking high every year. You know, so I think that's big, but here's the thing that I don't like about the three bowl trips. What about the communities? What about the small town communities? The Auburn, Alabamas, the Knoxville, Tennessees, the Starkville, Mississippis, the College Station, Texas. Think about the small businesses that would be positively impacted by having a 250,000 people in your town for an additional weekend or two. We're talking about significant dollars. So do the bowl games need that? Do the big cities need that? Like, is the Rose Bowl being played or hosting a quarterfinal game going to make a big difference in the GDP of Miami? Probably not. But a quarterfinal game in Tuscaloosa would make a major difference for small businesses and business owners in those communities. So it's as much for the fans and having to pay, but it's also as much for the communities that support these football programs on an annual basis. So I want those games to go home as well. Because I think the Bulls, y'all, we grew up with Bulls, and I love Bulls. But it does feel, and the Bulls have a ton of power, and they're still going to have a place, and they're still going to have a say in this whole thing. But colleges are about the home field environments and being on campus. That's what makes it really special. And while the Bulls are important to protect, I think what's more important is to protect the pageantry and the experience of going on campus for a big football game. That's what's going to make things different for us long term.
Greg McElroy's with us on the Jocks Roundtable around the state on the Jocks Network today. If I asked you, expanding the playoffs to 12, that means 12 coaches are getting in the playoffs instead of four. Does that save more jobs, or does it cost the people who are now missing the playoffs more jobs because there's more opportunities to be there? You said being exclusive with the playoffs. I think if I'm a 9-win coach, 10-win coach, my fans are sort of happy. And, you know, only Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma seem to be going to the playoffs anyway. This is going to help Kirby Smart, yes. This is going to help Dan Mullen, yes. This is going to help Jimbo Fisher, yes. But what's it going to do to those mid-tier programs in the SEC, the Big Ten and the ACC? Is it going to cost those coaches their jobs? Does it impact the carousel at all, in your opinion?
Yes, because I think that while you just – For instance, I know plenty of Georgia fans that aren't thrilled with Kirby Smart. You know what I mean? Because you might make the playoffs, and then you might have the results that you've continued to have over the last couple of years. Let's use Kirby Smart as an example. If you lose to Alabama in the SEC championship and then lose to Alabama again in the playoffs, and you do that, say, you know, a few times over the course of a five-year period, I don't think Georgia fans are going to be real happy. I think it just depends on where you're at as a program. If you're a breakthrough program and Matt Rhule takes Baylor to the playoffs, they'll give him a lifetime contract. But if you're at Georgia and you make the playoffs, that's not going to be good enough. You have to do something when you get there. I think Notre Dame's dealing with that a little bit. Where, yeah, Notre Dame fans love Brian Kelly, but getting the playoffs in Notre Dame fans' eyes, who grew up winning championships, especially Notre Dame fans in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, those Notre Dame fans aren't satisfied with just getting to the playoffs. They want to break through. Oklahoma's the same way. So, yes, while getting to the playoffs is a lot of fun and great, and even if you expand to 12, the fan base is going to be happy to have that opportunity. But if you go to the playoffs enough and don't perform, then it's not going to change the carousel from that outlook whatsoever. Guys will probably look for greener pastures. Guys will maybe get other opportunities. And I don't think it's necessarily going to save jobs. And the teams that finish just outside, for instance, if you finish 15th, 16th, 17th, depending on where you're at, it depends on what the expectation level is of the program. But if Mike Leach takes Mississippi State to 8-4 and they're sitting at number 19 in the country, but they didn't make the playoffs, I don't think Mississippi State fans are going to be beside themselves because they missed the playoffs. I think it just depends on the school. I think those with outrageously high expectations for their football program are still going to be pretty uncomfortable jobs to have if your team's not perennially consistently being in the mix for the playoff conversation.
Greg McElroy is with us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline, ESPN, SEC Network, Sirius XM. You mentioned a lifetime contract. Your former coach in Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban, doesn't technically have a lifetime contract, but he will stay there as long as he wants. He is through 2028. I know we could go broke gambling on when he would quit. Do you anticipate him seeing the entire extent of that contract?
I mean, no.
I don't.
But I don't. And it's not because I don't. I think just all the coaches that are kind of in the old school, like Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, are the best examples now in basketball. I think those in the old school kind of frame of mind, I think it's not going to be real appetizing what happens in college football as far as name, image, and likeness is concerned, and college sports in general.
Yeah.
I just think the way it used to be, that's why these guys coach. They want to help kids. They want guys to get better. They want to contend for championships. They want guys to mature underneath them. But when you start having to deal with agents and guys are upset because of their endorsement numbers, not just playing time, like playing time is in and of itself, but now you have to worry about guys and their marketing deals on top of it all, I think it's going to be really, really really uncomfortable for a lot of coaches that kind of grew up in a different era.
But is it Saban? Saban is a guy, though, Greg, that he's found a lot of rules he's spoken out about and didn't like, but then he's used them probably better than anyone else has.
100%. No, I totally agree with that. But we're also talking about a guy coaching deep into his 70s.
Yeah.
He's 77 years old by the time this contract expires. So if I had to bet on it, the odds of anybody coaching to 77 are pretty dang slim.
True.
So, I mean, if we're talking about just playing the odds, I think it's pretty slim. Then coupled the fact that the climate of college sports is going to change. And, yes, Nick Saban is going to use it to his advantage. But for how long? At what point is he going to say, you got to be kidding me, this is ridiculous? Like some of the stuff, my third string five-star defensive tackle is mad because he only made $1,200 on an Instagram post when he thought he was going to get $1,500. Like those are the type of fires some of these coaches might be putting out. And that might be, you know, pretty extreme. But I think it's a real possibility. And I do think it's going to be really interesting, too, for a lot of these coaches to make sure that they recruit guys that aren't motivated exclusively by the opportunities that could be afforded them in the NIL. Because if you start getting a bunch of guys that are caring only about the dollars and starting to care only about the, you know, the marketing opportunities and, hey, how can your platform help build my brand? You start getting a bunch of guys like that on the roster, it can certainly impact the culture of your program. And that culture is not one that usually leads to a lot of victories. So I think that'll be interesting. And I would expect Nick Saban to be ahead of the curve just like he always is. But I also think it's going to be maybe a little uncomfortable at the beginning for, you know, some of the coaches that are used to a different way.
All right, go follow Greg McElroy on Twitter, at Greg McElroy. See him on ESPN and the SEC Network and hear him on Sirius XM. Thank you for the time, Greg. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. Y'all too.
All right, take care. Greg McElroy with us. It is Wednesday. Don't want to wish people a great weekend. He is on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Zero sugar, zero carbs, only 80 calories. Tried in cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.